Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 6, 2017, and we are at CES in Las Vegas. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes. In fact, I'm quite happy because right before we started recording, I got my 24-hour notification of my flight to leave. So it means the home stretch is officially begun.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't happen.
Not that it hasn't been fun here, you understand. It's just, it's a bit of a sprinted marathon.
Yes, and it's nice to see that finish line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a sprinted marathon. That's so right, man.
That is right. And that beautiful voice belongs to Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Oh, this beautiful, low, sexy voice. Yes, sir. It's Brian Chaffin. Good to see you, sir.
And we have not heard any dulcet tones yet from John F. Braun. And how are you?
Fantastic. Good morning, gentlemen.
Excellent. And hey, we have sponsors all week long, and I feel like I'm dragging a little bit today. Let's see if I can get through all of them. We have iAmazing, we have Omni Group, we have
Merlin Projects,
we have MacPaw and Elgato.
Yeah, and you know, it takes a lot to do what we do here and bring the team out, and that includes a lot of effort, as you've heard, but it also requires a not insignificant amount of money and having those sponsors help us do that this week really made it this possible. So a great big thanks to all of them.
Yeah.
We'll talk about two of them in a minute here.
We certainly will. But before we do that, we have cool products that we have found, and we should talk about those. So, Brian.
Yeah, I want to go first because I feel like we might get into a screaming match over mine.
Okay.
So that'd be cool, right? Company called GeoNet. Anybody talk to them?
Nope.
Showstoppers. What GeoNet does is they have made a registry for physical space. It's kind of like a domain registry. And what this physical space will do is geofencing. So keep your drones out, assuming your drone is following the rules, which regulators could require. And which they're hoping regulators end up requiring.
Really?
Yes, and not only could it be used to do something like to keep your drones out, for instance, like I would assume that Apple would buy every one of these, buy as much of these as they could, keep those darn drones over from over their campus, right?
Yeah. Do they know anyone at the FCC, though? The FAA, sorry. Which would it be? It would be the FAA mandating this.
I think it would be
this.
The FAA.
I'm assuming
yeah.
FAA.
Yeah, yeah. So do they know anyone there? I mean, do they have any indication that this would become an official thing, or are they hoping for society to say, yes, we want that so bad, we are willingly going to adopt it?
Yes.
Awesome.
They seem to feel like they have contacts within the FAA. This is a pretty well-funded company. They've been in stealth mode for 4 years waiting for patents to come out. They've had four of their patents that have been issued. They've got another 21 that are out there around the world. But there's more. Oh, there's more. Because not only could this be used to keep your drones out of your space, it could also be used to decide what your smartphone can do.
All right, I'm
right.
out.
Well, because you've got the geofence opportunity.
Yes.
Now, is it, again, if we either willingly or are regulated to do so, are they talking about having your smartphone deactivated inside of these zones or can't
sure.
make a call?
Or can't the camera doesn't work?
Yeah, okay. So
right?
functional limitations based
yes.
on the zones.
Yes. In other words, what this could really do is finally let capital be in charge of our devices. Finally.
Oh, good news.
Yeah, isn't that freaking great? I mean, like I'm told the guys, like, you know, I'm not really sure. I want to wish you good luck. Because I'm not really sure about this, man. And
yeah,
and
that's not cool stuff found.
Well,
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No. I'm with you. But I mean, but at the same time, I don't know, man.
No, we are in the, you know, we said this a couple of weeks ago, right? We haven't even gotten, if we're comparing the smartphone and really just the consumer tech world to just say the social evolution that took place with cars, we're not yet even at the four-way stop point, right? Because think about that. When cars were invented, we didn't have speed limits. We didn't have licenses. We didn't have any of that. You bought a car, you drove it. Yes, there were roads. They weren't built for cars, but they sort of existed, and then those got better. But, you know, I think about the point at which we as a society developed and agreed to the four-way stop. That's a really advanced concept because it requires no external technology. The drivers arrive. As long as you know the rules of the road, you will successfully navigate that if you're not being an idiot.
That's a good point. But
we're not there yet.
The difference between – I like your analogy. I do. I love your analogy. But the difference between that reality and something like this is the role of the ways in which corporations in this country have gained massive amounts of power over our daily life.
Sure. Well, and that's what I'm saying is like I'm sure there were a lot of seemingly good ideas to the people that made them, but really were generally bad ideas that sort of got considered and dismissed along the way of creating the rules of the road.
Right.
Like, we don't have the rules of the road
right. For
our cell phones or our drones or any of that.
I mean, like, I think we would all agree that the idea of people's cell phones being shut down in a theater, probably pretty good. We probably would all enjoy that.
Sort of.
Exactly.
Except when there's an emergency.
Exactly. Like,
mm-hmm. I can mute my phone, it can ring, and I can decide with minor, but agreed.
Well, yeah,
interruption.
We want
leave the theater.
We want our phones to do that, but we don't want all these other idiots around us to do that.
Yeah,
by and large, I'm sweeping with a sarcastic broad stroke.
Right.
But I mean, but now the flip side of that is imagine the police being able to turn off your cameras in a protest zone or someplace where they're they're combating. So it's so far up there. Now, to the company's representative that I was talking about, to his massive credit, he said, we don't have a big agenda here. Help us shape this conversation.
Sure.
So,
which is good. Okay. So they're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're having this conversation.
Yeah. So I'm glad
there's a conversation. I'm just not comfortable where this is going.
I know it's scary. It's scary and it's interesting at the same time.
It is. Hey, we have sponsors today, as we have mentioned. And Dave, you know about MacPaw, right?
I do. And specifically, I know about SetApp. Right. So MacPaw's been making Mac software for us for a long time. And what we're talking about today is their brand new piece of software, but it is a subscription software marketplace, for lack of a better term. It's like Netflix, but for Mac apps. You pay a monthly subscription fee of $9.99 and you get access to all of the apps that are inside of SetApp. They've got things like Ulysses, Rapid Weaver 7, Reveal, Ultima Player, and lots more. In fact, two of my personal favorites and most regularly used apps, iStat Menus and Screens, are included in SetApp. And what that means is I don't have to go and buy those apps. I don't have to go and worry about updates. I don't have to go and do anything because as long as I'm paying my SetApp subscription, I have access to the latest versions of those apps. And the UI is actually really cool. It looks like a folder of apps once you install SetApp on your Mac. But really what it is just icons. When you choose to launch the app, that's when it downloads the actual app. So you're not storing apps that you don't choose to use on your Mac. It's free for the next month. So visit setapp.com and check it out. And then it's $9.99 a month after that. No, you're not locked into a long-term contract unless you want to be. So it's great stuff. SetApp for MacPaw at setapp.com. Thanks so much to MacPaw for helping make this week possible for us.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And yes, thank you. All right. So, Dave, as long as you have a microphone in your face, do you have a cool product?
Yeah, I think so. Now's the time in the CES week where we have the cool products we're not allowed to talk about yet. But So
so let's talk about them.
Yeah, I really want to. But
yeah,
That's okay. I another one that I'm very excited about that just was announced this week is the Erin M2. You guys have been hearing me rave about Erin for a year because I got their M1s, their first generation true wireless earbuds here at CES last year and have been using them ever since. They remain my favorite wireless earbuds. They've been made better. We've talked a lot about these on the show. They say that the audio quality has gotten better. I haven't had enough of a listening experience to compare, but it's certainly at least as good as the M1s, and that's plenty good for me, and I'm kind of really picky about that stuff. They've finally added microphones to these.
That made me happy when I saw
that. Yeah, well, they said they wanted to get the best music listening experience out first with the M1s. And so that was their focus. They sort of ignored everything else. They put the blinders on and they got that done. Now they've put two mics per earbud. And not only is that possible to use for speakerphone, but they've got an algorithm in there that massively cuts down on ambient noise, background noise, so it can be used for speakerphone. And also, you can tune it for audio transparency so that you've got these very well-sealing earbuds in your ear, but while you're, say, running or you know, exercising or doing whatever, walking on the street, you want to let some sound in. That's what audio transparency will do, and it's configurable with an app so that you can do what you want when you want. My other issue with the ear-in M1s is that you cannot watch videos with them. That's because it is Bluetooth from your phone to the left ear and then Bluetooth again from the left ear to the right ear. Bluetooth doesn't do so well going through water, and so they have to buffer the sound to make sure they can error correct and get that Bluetooth through the big watery mass that is your head to the other ear. They've changed that. They no longer use Bluetooth between the two devices. They use NFMI, near field magnetic induction.
Between, that made me happy too.
Yep, between your two ears. So instead of having a delay of 150 milliseconds baked into the system, they have a delay of about 3 to 5 milliseconds baked into the system. So watching videos, no problem with that. So they're expected to ship by the beginning of Q2. We will get units to truly test a little bit ahead of that so we can really talk to you folks about it. And they're starting at the same price that the M1 started at of $249. The M1s are now down to $199. And so perhaps over time, even the price will come down. So
very cool. I'm looking forward to trying these out.
It's an interesting thing talking about price of earbuds and without acknowledging the elephant in the room that is the Apple AirPods. Right, because they're what, 179? No,
149.
149, right?
Or 159? Right, in there somewhere.
69 or 59.
Well, somebody look that up while we're chatting here.
Start typing, John Braun.
Yeah, that's you, big guy. So, seriously, so Apple, they sound really good. Apple's AirPods, and they stay in your ear. They don't feel like they're going to stay in your ear, but they actually do. Apple's sort of defining the lower price of the higher quality sound in this market, but I feel like they're doing it with a almost a loss leader philosophy.
$159.99.
Thank you, Brian. So you know they're not. It's really hard for these other companies to compete. I don't prefer the AirPods because they don't feel. I like a seal in my ear, which the AirPods don't do. That's by design. I get it. So I just wanted to mention that because it really is kind of this scenario. I don't want to say it's unfair because Apple can do what Apple wants to do.
Sure.
But it is weird to say, yes, you should get these $250 ones when Apple's standing there with these $160 ones that do sound quite good and pair up nicely and all of that good stuff. So, but for me, I prefer the sealables. So
I'm a sealable guy too.
Yeah. And these actually are much flatter than the old ones. I don't know about you and your ears, but with the ear-ins, I could lay on a pillow with the M2 in and it doesn't stick out. It's so flush and flat in my ear that I was not bothered by having the butt in my ear while against a pillow, which makes a difference on an airplane. You're not going to do that with the AirPods. At all.
No, you're not.
Not even a little.
Not even a little.
So that's my thing. Thanks.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, we have another sponsor today, and that second sponsor is Elgato, specifically Elgato's new Thunderbolt 3 dock, which is a perfect match for the new MacBook Pro, which is sitting on the desk in front of me right now. So there, the new dock, it has two Thunderbolt 3 ports on it, so you can power your computer right from the dock, and of course get everything that's connected to the dock right into your computer with one cable. And it has gigabit Ethernet. It has USB 3, so that means the flat USB ports that everyone is lamenting that they're missing now. It has it has the HDMI port out that you're going to want for your display. And anyhow, it's loaded up with all the ports that you need, so that instead of having to try and daisy chain a bunch of adapters together to get all the stuff into your computer, all you need to do is plug this one thing in, and you're good to go. And it's coming out soon. It's priced at $299.95. I got to check it out yesterday at CES, and I even did a video. So that will be online at some point today. It's a really cool product. I'm looking forward to it coming out, which is soon. And thank you, Elgato, for being our sponsor today. All right. So, Mr. Braun, what do you have for me today?
Here's what I got for you. This is the Helia LED bulb from Sora. There's lots of LED bulbs. So what makes this one special?
Yes, tell me, what makes this special?
Well, one thing that makes it special is actually talking to some of the people on the staff here. Some of them used to work for Apple, so they know what they're doing. So that was fun to talk shop. But here are the innovations that they have in this bulb here. One is the color, or the temperature, as a lot of times you see with a bulb here. And with traditional bulbs, you're usually stuck with what you got. And depending on the time of day, that might not look that great. What they've incorporated in this bulb is something that they call blue-free technology. And if you know about night shift and things like that, the basic premise here is that blue light at certain times of day is bad, both for sleep cycles, and it just makes the bulb look kind of meh. The next innovation that they have takes care of this, in that based on the time of day, it will adjust the temperature of the bulb so it always looks nice.
Is that happening inside the bulb, or is an app defining, or is an app controlling that?
That's a fantastic way to lead into their second innovation, right, Dave. So how does the bulb do all these wonderful things? What they have in this bulb is something called a smart snap modular interface. And you'll see this in the article that should go up at some point. It's actually a little module that provides it both with the sensors and with the intelligence to do all of these great things.
So you don't need to have an internet connection or a phone link through Bluetooth near the bulb for it to do all of this magic.
You guys, you know, I'm amazed that we didn't talk about this beforehand. So you may ask yourself, how do these bulbs communicate with one another? Well, the thing is, you don't need a hub for all these bulbs to communicate with one another, because they network themselves through power line.
Huh.
That's okay. Clever.
Now, the module also, but then here, getting to the module here, and so they provide one, but they're also saying that other people will be able to provide them, and they provide a way to upgrade. So it does have Bluetooth to communicate with the module to configure it or to update the software within it. But the module itself has a light sensor, a audio sensor, and those I think are used to detect the time of day or presence. You know, if it hears a noise, it's like, oh, there must be somebody here. And then it has various modes in the bulb here. So there's not just a single mode. And I thought this was neat as well. So this is where the intelligence come in. So it has some presence modes. So one is occupancy, where is the smartest mode. So it turns the lights on when it thinks there's something there, and it turns it off when there's nothing there. There's a vacancy mode, where you turn the lights on manually, but then it'll turn them off when it thinks it's appropriate. There's a manual mode. That's kind of boring. And then they have a couple of learned modes. They have a nightlight mode. So if it's at night, it thinks and it hears that there's something.
So is this Alexa, Google Home, and or HomeKit interfaceable?
I do not believe so. No. They provide.
It seems like the kiss of death.
Yeah, that seems like a critically missed opportunity.
Why would they not be? I mean, I can see why they wouldn't do HomeKit, because of the cost of you know, putting a chip in that can do that security negotiation. But for Alexa and Google Home, if you can control it. Oh, it's not Wi-Fi capable at all. You're talking only Bluetooth. Is that right? To it?
Bluetooth is used to communicate with the module, with the smart module in the bulb. And it uses power line for the bulbs to communicate among one another, and there's an app that you use to configure the bulb.
Right. So does the app work over Wi-Fi, or is the app working just Bluetooth to the module from your phone?
My understanding is that because the Bluetooth is in the smart module, that it would be communicating using Bluetooth.
Okay, so that's why it's not. Okay.
So this is a kind of setup that you would want if you want to have smart bulbs, but you want to make sure that they're isolated so they can't be used in like a DDoS attack somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They're not on the internet. Yeah.
So is this available now, John?
No, it's not. And I'm glad you asked that question. They will be available. The suggested retail price will be $49 each. And they will be available in spring.
What about the hub? How much does the hub cost?
Well, as I said, there is no hub because they provide their own networking. There is a hub. There is a hub or cloud option, but you don't need it.
I thought you said that the bulbs talk to a hub. They don't. They talk to each other via power line.
Correct.
Got it.
So when you configure them and, I guess, define groups and things like that, they communicate with one another.
Okay.
That way. They did mention, I didn't really go into detail.
There's the thing that's like the sensor, right?
Yes.
So how much is the sensor?
Or is that sensor is part of the bulb?
Now
each bulb has one of these replaceable
intelligence
sensing modules.
Got it. Okay. I thought that was separate. Okay.
I mean, they do mention that there is cloud capability, but I didn't really go into detail about that.
So that would be worth finding out before you push the article, because if it can do cloud, it can do Alexa and Google Home, no question.
And it would be, I mean, these guys are former Apple engineers, and they didn't support HomeKit.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision.
So I'm thinking maybe that just might be a tidbit. You should find that. You should confirm that with them, too.
Yeah.
I guess is my point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, still very cool. And we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. It was fun. It was fun being here all week.
It was fun being here.
Yeah, this is our last of these together. My guess is Monday's show will probably include more of the same of this, because we're about to go see a bunch of new stuff, too. But
right.
This is the last one we get to do standing and talking to each other.
Yeah. And there's also more stuff to see Saturday.
Yep.
For some of us.
Yep. I forgot that you're here through Saturday.
Yeah. So we'll have more to talk about on Monday. Cool. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. And Mr. John F. Braun, it's great that you're here too.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. Also, thank you to our sponsors today. That would be iMazing and Omni Group and Merlin Project,
SetApp, and Elgato.
Yes. So thank you to all of our sponsors, and thanks for joining us all week at CES, listeners. We will see everyone again on Monday.